All right, hi everybody, and welcome to part two of this ancient history program of History at Our House for the elementary class. We have covered our introductory segment, and this has allowed us now to become aware of where we are in history. And thus, to establish properly for ourselves the right place to start and the right place to end any type of learning that we do concerning the past. So, you are now becoming extremely familiar with this particular diagram, and it was on the test. And if you were to go to the class webpage, which is a good idea for me to just briefly show you here, not the junior high, but let's go to lower elementary ancient history, for instance. You could see that we have the October webpage. And were you to go there now, as of this morning, you would see either on the lower L or the upper elementary webpage, you would see the grading key for the tests. So good luck. Hopefully you'll get a good result. Patrick did very well. I was very pleased. This was the first time as a lower elementary student that he took a test, and he did very well. And so I hope that you also had a good outcome. And even if it was difficult or you weren't very happy with the outcome, it will be a learning experience. That's the key to it. Opal, question or comment?
I thought we already did the test and we were grading it in the class.
Okay, well, I'm glad that you voiced this confusion so that I can help you to understand things more clearly. Okay? The entire last week was the test preparation. The test preparation. And so, if you look at the labeling of the materials, for instance, it's very clear on that point. This is called the test one, test preparation sheets. It's not a test. They are test preparation sheets, and they are homework exercise, and you were to use the materials of your class notes in order to fill them in as best as you can, and then we were discussing those in class, and then after the test, as I said very loudly and multiple times, I distributed the test, and that was to be your weekend activity. Okay, so if that wasn't clear to you now, I hope that next time around it will be, and you'll get used to this schedule of work. You might find that at this juncture that, okay, you don't really worry too much about this particular test. Like I said, it was a kind of an easy one because we wanted to get things rolling. The next test will be about a page longer. It's going to be a more challenging exercise, and the longer, they'll get longer and a little bit harder over the course of the entire year. So you'll see the use of the test preparation exercise, I hope, over the course of that process. All right. So continuing on here with where we are now that we have this orientation. Right? That we know where we are and we know how far back ancient history goes. Even back to this archaic world of the Narmer palette. Well, now we are ready to go to the ancient past. We're ready to look back at this ancient part of it that previously we were disconnected from. Right? For the longest time, we were connected to Roman Greece. And we are going to study that in great detail this year. But for the longest time, we were not connected to ancient Egypt, and we could never have known its history. But, thankfully, in 1799, the Rosetta Stone was discovered, and a bridge was built to this archaic world. Right? We have these two key words, classical and archaic. This is archaic history here. And it's not nearly as useful and valuable as the classical part. We had to build a bridge to it in order to even be able to know about it. It was gone. It was extinct would be another word for that. And we didn't know anything about it. And we had to, because we have these modern sciences like archaeology and history, we were able to build a bridge back to it and learn about it. And so now here we are, and we can look back on Menes Narmer, and we can look at the people of Egypt, and we can say, oh, look, this amazing thing that we were always wondering about, We can finally understand. What is that amazing thing? What is that thing that really, I mean, goodness, if we didn't have this thing, we might not even care about the ancient Egyptians. We might not even know that they existed. That may be a little bit of an exaggeration, because at some point we probably would have figured it out. But what's that thing that just, you can't help it when, if you ever happen to go to Egypt, of course, right? You just can't help it. You're looking at it and you're saying, oh my gosh, who did that? Rosetta?
The pyramids.
The pyramids. Okay, so let's go to the pyramids. Let me minimize. There we are. Right. The pyramids. I mean, really, when we say the pyramids, and you know, there are pyramids around the world in different places and different kinds of monuments and so on, right? But really, when we say the pyramids, everybody knows what we mean, right? We mean the Egyptian pyramids. And not only that, we mean exactly this particular set that we're looking at here. I mean, this is by far the most famous set of pyramids. Yeah, it's interesting because there are pyramids in the Americas as well. And I suspect there might be less famous pyramids in other parts of the world as well. But certainly by far, these pyramids that we're looking at here are the most famous. And if you want an idea of the scale, you can see that there's people down here. Right, here's a person. And a camel. And a donkey, I think. So you can see the people down here crouched next to this really tiny one. And then, of course, you can see the monstrous ones. Okay? And here's something amazing that I learned this summer, in fact. This is kind of a recent picture of the pyramids. Look at this from the sky. And this I didn't know. Look at modern Egypt. It's really kind of shocking. When we see this picture, a picture like this of the pyramids, we feel as though the pyramids are kind of off in the middle of nowhere in some, you know, mysterious, impenetrable desert. But guess what? Look at that. Look at where, see, the picture was taken kind of around right this spot right here. And so going on along this picture, you kind of can't see what's in the background, but guess what's in the background? A giant, sprawling, modern city, complete with pyramid golf course. This is the city of Cairo, which is a huge city, definitely the most important city of Egypt today. So taken from the sky, look at that. I mean, there are people there whose houses are stone's throw away from the ancient pyramids. That's pretty stunning to me. I've always been amazed, you know, when I think about this picture, it's just amazing to me how close it is. Anyway, so what we are really, when we are talking about Egyptian history, right, the archaic world of Egypt, what we are talking about is the people that were the pyramid builders. Who were they? Why did they do this? You know, and they left this amazing mark on the world. The pyramids, this one back here is the tallest, as it turns out. It's not that obvious from the pictures. This one looks like it's the tallest, but this one is the tallest. So the pyramids, this pyramid back here, was the tallest building in the world for over 4,000 years. The tallest building in the world for over 4,000 years. And it is almost 150 meters high. Almost 150 meters high. Or if you prefer feet, almost 500 feet tall. Okay? So that's huge. Can anybody think of something else that would be about 500 feet tall? For comparison's sake? Does anybody know about how tall the Empire State Building is? Like a modern skyscraper like the Empire State Building is about 1,000 feet. You got to get to about 1,000 feet before it's a really tall skyscraper. So more than twice as high as these pyramids. Okay? But still, I mean, that's a modern building, right? Built with steel. Right? This is built out of stone. And for 4,000 years, these are built out of stone. For 4,000 years, they were the tallest structures in the world. One of these big pyramids contains 2.5 million stone blocks. 2.5 million stone blocks. And the biggest blocks in these pyramids can weigh up to 150 tons. That's such a big number, you probably don't know what that is either, right? But it sounds big, right? When we're talking about big things, really, really heavy things, we use tons. I'm going to have to come up with, this would be a good homework exercise. How much is 150 tons? Is somebody willing to do some homework exercise and find out what would be an interesting way to say how much is 150 tons? So, for instance, how many people would that be? If a person is about 150 pounds, how many people of 150 pounds would it take to be 150 tons? Right? Or maybe another exciting way to measure it would be, how many elephants would it take? I don't know how heavy an elephant is, right? Or how many giant blue whales, the biggest animal in the world, how many would that be? So that just could be interesting, just for the sake of comparison, to understand how amazing these buildings are. Some of the blocks weigh 150 tons. The average is more like about 1.5 tons. But nonetheless, you know, you got 2.5 million of them in one of these buildings, right? If we just zoom in for a minute, which we can do, check this out, right? If we look at these buildings, look at that, right? Start counting, everybody. Okay, let's see how long. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay. That would take way too long. All right, so count to 2.5 million. That would take quite a while. So, yeah, look at the construction of this, right? It's a set of huge blocks piled one over top of the other in a very careful arrangement, right? And it's lasted all of this time. Pretty fascinating, right? There's the other one. This is really neat. This one is the most famous one because it has this kind of surface to it, which looks like a crown. And that's just because the exterior of the pyramids used to be bigger than it is now. And this is the only part left. So it's been worn away by storms and by rain. And I don't know how much rain they have in Egypt, but certainly by sandstorms and stuff like that and the crumbling of the structure. So it's falling apart. But they all used to look like this. Very, very smooth surface. All the way to a point at the top. 2.5 million blocks. That's one heck of a Lego project. I finally got a reaction out of Patrick on that one. All right? Try to build a pyramid with 2.5 million blocks. That'd be a pretty expensive one, Patrick.
I wonder how many dinosaurs the pyramids weigh.
Oh my gosh. Well, I don't know if we know exactly how heavy any particular dinosaur was, but you can choose whatever standard you want. How many people does it take to be 150 tons? How many elephants? You know, you can measure it any way you want. Just to think about the size of the blocks, how heavy they are, right? So, yeah, these, according to the ancient Greek historian Herodotus, who's my personal hero, the ancient Greek historian went to Egypt and he talked to the people there and he asked them how they had been built. He wanted to know more about them. And the story was that it took 100,000 people 20 years to build each of these big pyramids. 100,000 people, 20 years. Opal, go ahead.
I'm not answering this question. I'm just answering your one from earlier. One blue whale can weigh 150 tons.
All right, so that's really interesting. That's fascinating. So the biggest animal in the world, that's about how heavy one of the blocks is. That's really cool. Thank you for that, Opal. Right, so, and then we could measure it, like I said, in terms of people or whatever. Elephants might be a more useful measure just to compare, because water animals can be heavier than land ones. All right, so.
Five elephants or people.
Yeah, all right. So, yeah, it might take a little bit more research. All right, so, Herodotus said that 100,000 men worked for 20 years to build one of these, just one of these pyramids. So here's my question for you. Why would they do that? Why would they do that? Now, I personally have been working on history as a profession for just a little bit more than 20 years. Hey, there's an interesting measure, an interesting comparison. Why do I do that? Why would I spend 20 years of my life on something? I mean, I think you guys know why, right? What does that reveal? The fact that people would spend 20 years on something. But not just, you know, one person spending 20 years. What is that? That's the most important project in their life. That's certainly what it is for me. Spent 20 years working on history. Okay, so take 100,000 men and make them work for 20 years. What's that? What does that tell us? There's a key word that I'm looking for here. It's the most important word in history. Patrick?
America-centric?
Oh my goodness. I know why you said that. And it's true that the history is America-centric. But no, that doesn't have anything to do with the pyramids, right? I'm looking for another word. Okay? What is the most, because I haven't been saying this phrase for a while, so I was hoping that one of my veterans might come up with it, right? Because it used to be the motto of history at our house. So Wyatt, what's the motto? What was the old motto?
This is Henry.
Yep.
Slavery.
Oh, goodness gracious, no. I'm sorry. That's okay. That's an interesting, I think you're answering a different question than I intended. I'm very sorry. I didn't mean to be critical in my response there. But my question was the following. What is the most important word in history? Yeah, I have stopped using this motto so everybody forgets. Rosetta?
Important.
Important! There we go! Yes, that used to be the motto of history at our house. Important is the most important word in history. Which means what? What have I always meant by that, Rosetta?
Which means basically that you need to use the important facts.
Okay, that's certainly how it works in history, right? That's what you have to focus on, right? Important. That word, important in life, means the thing that we want to pay attention to, worthy of our, something that's worthy of our attention. It's not the same thing as good or bad. Okay, but it's something that we are, should pay attention to, something important, versus something that's not important. And that means, okay, we should ignore it, because it's not important. Okay, so that's why that used to be the motto of history at our house. Important is the most important word in history, because I always promise to give you guys the most important parts of history and not waste your time. Okay, but now can you maybe see the connection here to the question that I wanted to ask, which was, if 100,000 people worked on this for 20 years, one of these for 20 years. What does that tell us? It tells us that these were what? Rosetta knows what I'm after now. Go ahead, Rosetta.
These were very important to them.
Thank you. Thank you. Important. Right? I mean, you cannot get 100,000 people working on something for 20 years. On a lark, right? A joke. Something that doesn't matter. I mean, think about the amount of human energy that was put into the creation of these structures. The amount of human life that was expended to build these. What does that tell us? It tells us that this was important to them. They didn't just pile up some sand. They took 2.5 million blocks, some of them as heavy as 150 tons. And they figured out how to move those into this part of the desert and then arrange them with 100,000 men working on the project for 20 years such that they would build this structure that would be the tallest in the world. They weren't competing with anybody else except themselves, and that it would last forever, which it pretty much has. Why did they do that? Because it was super important to them. Okay, that's the first thing to focus on here. The pyramids are such a great set of monuments for us for studying archaic history because they show us in this beautiful geometrical shape what was important to the Egyptians. And we could hardly ask for more, because if we want to study the important things in history, well, didn't the Egyptians help us out an awful lot? They gave us a gigantic clue. They said, if you want to know who we are, here, look at this. So, what did they tell us? Well, there's a clue in something that Henry said. So Henry was onto something that's very important. So Henry, I'm going to let you go ahead and answer a question that I don't think I had asked up to that point, but I'm going to ask it now because you already know the answer. And that is, who built these? Who were these 100,000 people, Henry?
Slaves.
Thank you. That is a really crucial fact. Okay. This is a good painting that gives us some clue as to how it worked. Right? Look at what's going on in this painting. This red stone, giant panther statue, whatever, is being dragged by slaves who are being whipped. Right? And they're going to go and deposit that somewhere. And there's a pyramid in the background, right? The kind that was built to glorify somebody. We'll see here. Okay. But these are slaves. So in other words, yeah, it was important to them, but they didn't do it willingly. Interesting. Why did they do it? Who made them do it? Rosetta.
The Pharaoh.
Okay, and what do you mean by that? Because that's a word that not everybody is going to know. I'm going to go ahead and put it in the chat box. Okay? It's spelled P-H-A-R-A-O-H. Pharaoh. In modern English. Go ahead, Rosetta. What is the Pharaoh?
He's the ruler of Egypt.
Okay, the ruler, right? And there's only one at any particular point in time. I'm pretty sure in this painting, the pharaoh's right here. The back of the procession under a nice umbrella with, I think, one of those crowns that we're so interested in. We're going to have to see what that crown is. It's not quite the one of the crowns that we've seen. But anyway, so yes, now it's surprising how much information we can learn about the Egyptians just from studying the pyramids. When we study the history of the pyramids, it was built by 100,000 men over 20 years, and they were slaves. So that means they didn't do it voluntarily. They did it because they were ruled by a pharaoh. Okay? So, why did the pharaoh make them do it? Why did he make them build these things? He said to those people, I am going to force you to make one of these for me. I'm going to force you to work for 20 years of your life, and you're going to make this for me. Why would he do that to people? The answer lies in, well, what this thing is. What each of these things is. Every one of the pyramids that you find in ancient Egypt. What is it? Sure, it's a nice geometrical shape. But what is its purpose? What is it? Why did the pharaoh want it constructed? Why would he enslave 100,000 people to make one? Rosetta, what is an Egyptian pyramid?
A tomb. It's a tomb.
Okay, which means what? It's a tomb. The word is T-O-M-B. Go ahead. And so what is that?
It's a burial place where you bury people and where you bury the pharaohs at that time.
Okay. All right. It's a burial site where you put the dead body of the pharaoh. Okay. It's a place the pharaoh forced 100,000 people to spend 20 years of their life making this. And what's it for? It's for his dead body. Why? Why do such a thing? I mean, if he was going to live in it and enjoy it, that might be something that we might understand, although it obviously doesn't look like a house, right? But why? Why a tomb? As the most important construction of an entire culture. A burial place for the pharaoh. To put his dead body inside. Why? Wyatt or Henry?
And the this is Wyatt. It's in the religion in to allow him to go to the afterlife.
Okay. Now that was a really interesting statement, and we have to understand that fully here, properly, in order to get this. Okay? In the belief of the Egyptians, when the pharaoh died, if he was in one of these, and his body was taken proper care of, he wouldn't really die. They believed that he would go and become a god. And then, after dying, he would join the other gods and take care of Egypt from the heavens. So now we're starting to get a clue here as to why the Egyptians would do something like this. It goes something like this. The pharaoh says to the people, you need to build this thing. 100,000 of you will work for 20 years. And when I die, you will put me inside. And then what? I will go to heaven, and then I will take care of you. Do you think anybody could tell people that today? Think anybody could find 100,000 people and say to them, you gotta build a special gigantic structure, put me inside, and I'll go up to heaven and I'll take care of you. I wouldn't do it. What about you guys? Would you guys want to do it? Would you believe somebody came down and said that to you? It's kind of not a real question. It's kind of a way of getting you to think about, what did the Egyptians believe? Right? What life was like? What kind of place was it? What kind of place was it like to be alive in ancient Egypt that people would do this? That it was possible, that it was believable, that it was something that they actually did. So tomorrow, we'll get into this idea of life in ancient Egypt. What was it like? How could it be that there would be a place where one person could enslave 100,000 and make them build a thing like this to send him to heaven? And they would do it, and a whole culture for thousands of years would live this way. That is the fascination of ancient Egypt. It happened. It's real. These pyramids are real. They've got the 2.5 million blocks in them, and people did make these things. They did live that way. So, we'll learn about this fascinating, archaic way of life starting tomorrow. We'll learn about Egypt, what kind of place it was, how people could come to think that this would be something that made sense and that they would do it. They would hope that it would actually work, and so on. And we'll understand how it is that these ancient colossal monuments could ever be. All right, that's it. We'll proceed with the mystery tomorrow. Thanks, everybody. Talk to you then. Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.